Welcome to the Teacher Rockstar Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Hiles, and today we're diving into a topic that so many educators are living every day: how trauma shows up in classrooms, why regulation matters, and what teachers can actually do to support teachers without burning themselves out. My guest today is Emily Reed Daniels, author of The Regulated Classroom. And in her book, she challenges how we think about behavior and shows why regulation is the key to safer, more effective classrooms. Now, before we continue, I want to share a little bit about today's guest. Emily Daniels is the creator of The Regulated Classroom, also an internationally recognized trauma-informed education specialist, a former school counselor, author, and trainer. Emily has supported thousands of educators worldwide and has been featured by the Associated Press, ABC News, Fox News, the Los Angeles Times, and NPR. Welcome to the show, Emily.
Thank you, Steve. It's such a delight to be here.
All right. Would you like to take a moment to share your educational journey with our audience?
Yeah. So I finished my graduate work at the University of Delaware in 2001 and became a school counselor then. And really, wow, that was, I got to say, Steve, that first experience of working in this urban environment turned me on to being very curious about behavior and how to reshape behavior for most of my career. And so that beginning experience was formative, let's say. That early experience was very formative.
All right. Okay. Well, you know, I have to ask you, Emily, you know, what was the moment or pattern you kept seeing in schools that made you realize that teachers didn't need more strategies, but needed regulation first? I mean, what was that like for you?
Well, I don't think I had the sense of that it was about regulation, but what I kept seeing was that there was a high degree of stress in us, the adults, and that the teacher's high level of stress was having an impact on their relationships with their students. And so a lot of times students would struggle in the classroom in different ways. And when they would come to work with me to try to improve that, they would say things to me like, well, the teacher doesn't like me. That's part of the problem. Hmm. And so, you know, in my experience, I was like, well, I don't know that that's true. Right. And then when I go back, either do an observation or I interact with the teacher, I got a sense of, oh, okay, I understand what this student is picking up on, why they perceive the teacher in that way. And when I started to learn about the nervous system and how the nervous system protects our body and brain and protects our survival, it started to make sense to me that the teacher's stress response, which shifted their regulation, would be perceived as a form of rejection for the student.
Yeah, I'll tell you. And then, you know, when teachers actually hear the word regulation, many think it's just about student behavior, right? You know, but what do you wish that every educator understood about their own nervous system first?
It's a great question, Steve. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, a couple different things. Number one, I think that in much of education for a long time, the challenges that educators have faced with student behavior or lack of student, you know, engagement has been about a deficit within the student. And I think that they haven't been able to see that there's a dynamic interplay, exchange, if you will, between them and their students. And so, yes, they're right. There oftentimes are deficits on the part of the student, but how they experience that can either aid or worsen that student struggle. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
That when the student is struggling, it presents as a challenge for the teacher. And so that stresses the teacher, which is a natural, normal response to that. And the thing about it is that increased stress oftentimes is experienced by the students as another form of threat for the student. Like, I stress my teacher. My teacher does not feel comfortable with me. My teacher does not feel safe in my presence. They're picking up on that at a very unconscious level, really.
Wow. That's amazing there. You know, I have to piggyback off what you just said. So how does a teacher's nervous system show up in the classroom? Even when they don't realize it, you know?
And they don't realize it. Okay. Why would they realize it? It's not part of their training. It's not something anybody talks about. It's not even common, you know, knowledge, you know, for most at this point. So the way it shows up most commonly is in the form of anxiety. Hmm. And that's actually what when I get into a training with teachers, you know, the first thing that they tell me is that they even feel anxious being in a training. Hmm. You know, yesterday I did a training in Maine and I had 50 people in the training, and one of the teachers, we started with rhythm sticks, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the teachers was so anxious about the rhythm sticking that they left the training and never returned.
Oh, wow.
And when I talked to the administrator about it, they said, well, they have too much anxiety. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, so anxiety is a protective state in the nervous system. It's actually a low level of a fight response in the nervous system. And so it's endemic in our schools today, and not just in our students, it's endemic in our teachers. And so, you know, we talk about burnout, we talk about teacher anxiety, we talk about teacher stress. All those things are nervous systems functioning uh-huh. for protection, nervous systems that are recruited for protection. So it's there. It's just not talked about in that way. Or seen in that way.
Yeah. Well, I'm just kind of curious, what is one strategy that you shared with your audience yesterday, you know what I mean, to kind of alleviate some of that?
No, it's a great question. Right. It's a great question. Uh-huh. So I actually said to the principal, like, do you think there's any way you could encourage that staff person to return? Because I said, I'm going to tell you right now, if they could find a way to make it back through the door. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's very uncommon. I've trained thousands and tens of thousands of people at this point. It's very uncommon to have a teacher at that level that they literally leave and they literally cannot come back.
Wow.
So they're going to be that individual, no question in my mind, is really struggling to function in their job, really struggling. Mm. Okay. So anyways, when I have teachers in trainings, I'm teaching them about activation in their nervous system. So instead of calling it anxiety, I actually say to them, could you use the language with me of activation? And could you dial into what that feels like for you? My heart rate's increased. It's harder for me to breathe mm-hmm. deeply. I feel tense in my body. And I'm like, great. Let's try a little rhythm sticking and just see if that shifts things, right? Let's just try a little collective rhythm making with rhythm sticks. Activators are a core practice in my framework, in my model. And activators are forms of collective rhythm making. Now, don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean that everyone is going to love rhythm sticks. Obviously, there was an individual who did not.
Yeah.
But there will be, if you avail yourself to the varied forms of collective rhythm making, there will be something that resonates with your nervous system, because collective rhythm is a biologically based human experience. Like we literally come into the world with a biological basis to get in sync with other humans. And that is true for every human being. So it's figuring out how to tap into that natural mm-hmm. biological phenomenon and bring it about so that you can experience regulation. Because when you get into rhythm, you get into regulation.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that, Emily. In your book, you talk about trauma showing up in everyday classroom moments. Now, what might be some of the signs teachers might be missing or misinterpreting?
That's a great question. A lot of oppositional behaviors, a lot of shutdown behaviors, a lot of even aggression, mm-hmm. violence in the classroom, many of those things that we formally think of as being just bad behavior, poor behavior that results from kids not coming from good homes or not being taught to be good. That's literally the language. That's the way we think about it. Mm-hmm. A lot of those behaviors, again, in a nervous system perspective, are protective reactions to a child or a student perceiving the environment or the individual they're with or the people they're with as not safe. So a kid can get triggered from past experiences and they show up as oppositional or defiant or aggressive. And we say, oh, that kid is just, yeah. He's just a bad kid. Yeah. He's just not been taught how to behave. And really, it's trauma that is showing up in the classroom at that moment.
Mm. Wow. I mean, that's something else. So let me,
right?
me, Let me ask you this.
It's changing, Steve. Yeah. It honestly is game changing.
Absolutely.
And I see that from coming from a place of being believing those things at one time too, and seeing a lot of that lens of behavior, a lot of those behaviors through the lens of what is wrong with this kid. Mm-hmm. This kid needs a diagnosis. This kid needs a medication. This kid needs a treatment. And when you start seeing things through the nervous system, it just shifts all of that.
Absolutely. You know, if a teacher is overwhelmed, you know, like say behind on curriculum and exhausted, what's the smallest place you recommend they start with regulation?
What I always say is, I just want you to notice. That's what I say. I'd say start by just noticing. Noticing when you feel overwhelmed, where you feel that in your body. Because here's the beautiful thing about self-awareness and about the practice of noticing is that once you turn attention to something, guess what? It shifts. Mm-hmm. So even when you are very overwhelmed, maybe really tired, but then you start to notice, like go inward and notice, yeah, I do really feel that. All of a sudden your breathing slows. You may take a deeper breath.
Wow.
You may still your body unconsciously. And now all of a sudden your body is getting, your nervous system is getting a slight reset in just that moment of noticing. So even if you started just there, like when you feel stressed or you feel overwhelmed or you feel exhausted, instead of trying to avoid that feeling or running from that feeling, mm-hmm. I actually want you to notice it instead and the very quality of it.
Well, that's kind of neat, because I was going to ask you what was one thing that teachers can do to stop doing right away that often reduces stress. Okay. And
yeah.
So, yeah, that's really
the noticing.
Yeah.
And when people train with me, that's the language I use constantly. You know, we do something, tell me what you notice. We talk about something, tell me what you notice. And people will say and report throughout the training, I can't believe how much just doing that made me feel differently. And I'm like, I mean, don't get me wrong, that's not the only thing you want to do.
Yeah.
But that's a great low risk, low stakes entry point to just starting to shift patterns of behavior. Your own patterns of behavior.
Yeah.
The Teacher Rockstar Academy course is meticulously designed to equip you with the tools and strategies needed to skyrocket your effectiveness as a teacher. Curious to know if the Teacher Rockstar Academy course is the missing piece in your teaching journey? If you're ready to reclaim control of your classroom and witness the incredible impact on your students, then use the link in the podcast description to learn more about this program.
Well, let me ask you this, Emily. How does a regulated classroom actually change the learning, you know, not just behavior? And what does mm-hmm. that look like in real life?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Steve, it's so gorgeous. It's so beautiful. It honestly is. So, and I see this because I do this with adults constantly, right? Mm-hmm. So when you get in a regulated state and the collective gets regulated together, that means you're synced up, you're feeling oneness, you're feeling community, you're feeling safe. There is spontaneous pro-social behavior. So that means people are helping each other. People are encouraging each other. People are able to access their conscious mind. So they're able to actually think about things at a really deep level and reflect. They're able to integrate information. So they're able to like consider, and of course, this is all developmental, mm-hmm. right? You might not be able to do some of these things if you're a little kid, but if you're like a middle schooler or a teenager or even older elementary school student and you're regulated, all of a sudden you can access your memory and you can think about, I remember what I learned about this. Now, how does this fit with what I learned before? So you're going to see more curiosity. You're going to see more sort of questioning and inquisitiveness, if you will. Mm-hmm. You're going to see more pro-social behavior between the learners in the classroom. It feels good, and it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's inspired space. It really, really is.
All right. So if I could follow.
It's a good time. Well, which matters, right? It's a good time. It's like, oh, I'm enjoying this. This is amazing. Yeah, I love it.
That was really something. So if I could, springboard off this last question, what's a classroom shift that teachers are often surprised to see once regulation becomes the focus, you know?
They cannot believe how much the students are asking for it. And they're noticing. The kids start noticing. Guys, we're dysregulated. They use that language. They actually, you know, if you bring that into the classroom and you talk to the students about it from that way, from the nervous system perspective,
yeah.
They can't believe how quickly the kids connect with it. And then the kids start to recognize, you know, Mrs. Daniels, I think we need a connector practice right now, or we need to do an activator because everybody's sluggish, or we need to do a settler because everybody's crazy in here. So I think number one, kids of all ages love it. Mm-hmm. It feels good to get regulated and reset together, and that they are developing just through doing these practices of co-regulation with students. Students start to learn a lot about themselves, uh-huh. and then they understand how to better caretake for everyone that's around them.
It's
kind of like a form of self-monitoring that just comes online once you introduce these ways of being. Yeah.
Do you find in your workshops, you know, is there a lot of teachers, do they do regulation types of strategies with their kids? I mean, are you finding that or?
Traditionally they don't, because uh-huh. they don't know to do that.
Well, how about a first teacher, like you know, first brand new teacher steps into the room. What is the easiest, regulation type of strategy that
you're saying, what could they do?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I always say that if you're going to start with anything at all, start with an activator. So start with some form of collective rhythm making. It can be hand drumming uh-huh. on a table or on a desk. It can be rhythm sticking.
Okay.
It can be tapping and clapping together. It can be doing hand clapping ditties like we used to do as young children, like Miss Mary Mac. Uh-huh. It can be dancing to a sequence with a favorite song, like especially if the song is nostalgic for you.
Okay.
For school, well, you want to use that kind of thing.
Yeah. So maybe some teachers probably do it. I know we've done a lot of hand clapping and movement kind of thing. I guess in a sense that would be regulation, would it not?
It can be. It just needs to follow a predictable pattern. So that's what you want to get at when you're trying to do something that has a rhythmic nature to it. Uh-huh. And you want to keep it short.
I was going to ask you, what would be the time limit on rhythm sticks or hand clapping?
At most 60 seconds.
Okay.
Most 60 seconds. You could even start with 30 seconds. I say to people all the time, you're just going to dose these things in with great frequency and repetition. But you're going to do them quick and you're going to stop and you're going to come out of that and you're going to go right back into what you were doing content-wise.
And so what should the teacher actually say to the student once that is done? I mean, do you all feel, you know what I mean? What would be what would the conversation go like?
So it would be like, okay, well, actually when the class gets habituated to doing these sorts of things, give me a one and everybody claps twice. Give me a one, everybody claps. They know, like when you can just go right into the practice once you've taught the practice, and the students will pick up on it and remember it and do it again. And then you don't even have to say anything. It's like the practice is over.
Okay.
There might be some, you know, giggling or laughter or whatnot. I usually put my hand up to signal, okay, it's time to transition back into what we were talking about or what we were doing before. So I usually use a gesture as a transitional signal, like we're going back into what we were doing before. But you want the little bit of, if you're taking 30 seconds, 45 seconds, 60 seconds, you want to give the group 30 seconds, 45 seconds, 60 seconds to kind of savor that experience they just shared together. Because that actually reinforces that we can do these things with one another and be safe together and belong with one another and feel good together. That's really good from a nervous system perspective, from even hormonally speaking, you know, you get some oxytocin production the dopamine hit, like literally you're generating things at a biochemical level and a relational level that just reinforces the ideal conditions for learning. So, let them savor it for a few moments and then give them a gesture and back to class.
Okay.
Well, but believe it or not, collective rhythm making is incredibly organizing in the collective. So that's the thing that people don't realize. They're like, no, the kids are going to get crazy. When the kids get crazy, it's because they've been doing like random movements, uh-huh. probably not in synchrony with one another. And then they're too activated or aroused to then refocus again.
So the rhythm sticks are, they're doing it all together in sync.
In sync with you. You're leading and they're doing it in sync with you. They're mirroring it back to you. Over time, you can then have the students start to lead it and share it with each other and with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're following along. It's a with each other.
And what's the frequency of that? Would that be, you do something like this? I don't know.
People are shocked by this, but when I train, I literally don't go past 10 at the most 15 minutes without dosing in this kind of quality of experience.
Wow. So every periodically, the frequency every 15, 20 minutes, a little 30 second, 45 second deal.
Easily. Because I'm going to tell you right now, 2 minutes into any instruction, you've already lost half your learners. They're not, they might be quiet, but they're dorsal. They're offline. They're not actually engaged. So you can feel it and you can notice it just up to the point you've been trying to ignore it and get through the content.
Yeah.
But once you actually avail yourself to, okay, the kids aren't really with me. Once you avail yourself to that, you recognize, oh no, we do need
that would be very interesting. I'd love to see the rhythm sticks.
You should come in. Oh my gosh. Well, if you follow along with us on the social medias, you'll see, we'll do a little post here and there. People rhythm stick. Oh, it's so fun. People love it. I mean, kids love it. The adults love it. It's a blast. It's a good time.
Okay. Super. Now, let me ask you this. So now if you would speak directly to a first year teacher, okay, just coming out of college, or a returning teacher who feels like they're failing, what would you want them to know after reading your book? What would you,
The biggest thing that I try to impart to my teachers is how much they matter. I don't think anybody tells them that. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they tell them that enough. Like, you have one of the most difficult and challenging jobs you can have.
Yeah, okay.
And at the same time, one of the most, you have the capacity to be one of the most formative influences in a child's life. Like, that is enormous. And for that reason, you matter so much and you make such a difference every single day. And that difference can be for good or ill. So if they are really stressed and unhappy, that has a profound effect on the kids they're with every day. But if they're regulated and they're safe and they're present and they're attuned, wow, they have no idea how much that makes such an incredible difference for the students that they interact with on a daily basis. So you matter. And I don't want you to not ever know that you matter and that it's okay to prioritize you doing well in your job, meaning you caring, like these resetting practices that I teach them, it's about prioritizing their own nervous system state regulation, because I know that when they're doing well, it's really good for the kids and it's really in service of learning and connection. So I want them to feel like they have explicit permission to do what they need to do, to trust in what they experience and what's needed in the moment, and to shift the practice in the moment, to stop the delivery of instruction and to shift into a regulating practice, and to know that it's not a waste of time.
Okay.
Because they matter so much.
Okay.
They matter.
Yeah. Fantastic. Really. Emily, I have to ask you, I know there's probably many of them, but what is your biggest takeaway that you would like to share with our audience today?
Probably just that my hope is that this lens of the nervous system, this way to see yourself and to see your students, revolutionizes how you see and understand yourself and them. And that it, you are not crazy. You are not lazy. You are not a failure. You are adapting to what you're experiencing. And if you don't figure out how to care for your nervous system in the context of being with your children and being with your students, it's natural and normal for you to struggle. But if you have this understanding of, like, I can be empowered, I can do these things, and I can set the tone of my classroom in this way so that I'm caring for myself and I'm caring for our students.
Yeah.
And it's all in service of the good things that we want in the classroom, right? We want the kids to be good to one another. We want them to be curious, and we want them to risk failure and all those things. So my hope is that they understand that there's nothing wrong with them. They're perfect just the way they are.
Right.
But they will struggle if they don't come to this understanding. And even if they're struggling now, even if they're not a new teacher, even if they're struggling now and they don't know what to do, or they feel like there's some kind of a failure, I'm telling you, grab some understanding about polyvagal theory, and you'll start to see yourself so differently. You'll start to feel hope. You'll start to feel empowerment, and you'll start to feel equipped to know what you need to do to change things.
Right. Okay. Very good. Very good. So I have to ask you, Emily, how can people connect with you? You know, they want to get your book, or they want to follow you on Facebook, or how can they do that?
We love it. We love followers. We appreciate it. We try to make our content very accessible and inspirational and educational. So we're Regulated Classroom, mm-hmm. where you can find us on the internet, regulatedclassroom.com, but you can find us on Facebook and Instagram. I do free monthly webinars the third Tuesday of every month, usually at 3 o'clock Eastern time. Mm-hmm. They're 30 minutes. They're recorded. If you register for it, we'll send you the recording so you can get free bits of education around this. We run a lot of giveaways and that sort of thing. So yeah, we would love for you to reach out. We are also going to be releasing a brand new book called The Early Years for Parents and Early Years Educators. Mm-hmm. So this is like childcare providers and preschool teachers, kindergarten teachers, first grade teachers. We're so excited about this resource. I've co-authored it with an ECE expert. She's phenomenal. And so, but it's really going to give a lot of parents and early childhood educators a lot of tangibles of like what to be doing in the classroom with students that helps them get regulated and also helps their students get regulated or their children. You know,
that's spammed. I think that's awesome. Very, very,
yeah.
Very good.
So I'm very excited about it because a lot of people want to know what to do.
Yeah.
So
I'm all absolutely.
Like, let me tell you what to do. These are the things you want to try. These are the things you want to do. Like, this is the what to do. It's not just theory. Who needs theory?
No.
Like, the classroom teacher does not need theory, they need practice.
Absolutely. Well, Emily, yeah. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show here today. And we wish you the very, very best in the future. And I'd love to have you back on again at some point down the line.
I would love that. That would be great.
All righty. Okay.
Thank you so much.
And before we go, I'm excited to share that Emily's book, The Regulated Classroom, is on Amazon and other major retailers. Now, it's a powerful read for anyone who cares about the future of our schools. So be sure to check it out. Well, we have come to the end of the Teacher Rockstar podcast. I want to thank you for listening. I'm your host, Steve Hiles, and we will see you same time, same place next week. And remember, you got this.
You've been listening to the Teacher Rockstar podcast with your host, Steve Hiles. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast as much as we have. Make sure to hit that subscribe button and join our ever-growing community of teacher rock stars. Until then, thanks for listening.